In the ongoing effort to avoid commercials on our show, we bring you a commercial from us. My subby and I have created a boutique adult toy store on my website. We have handpicked items that are low cost and show up on your doorstep with all of your other Amazon packages. Make sure, though, that you open them, not your kids. Go to kristenkellogg.com or find the link in the notes of this episode. We will get a percentage of the sales from the items exclusively on my storefront. You get some special items to enhance your FLR, and we all win without a stupid-ass commercial.
I don't know how to start this. This is dumb. I should have done the welcome back because now I screw myself.
This podcast is intended for mature audiences only. If you are not 18 years of age or older, there are thousands of other podcasts you can listen to, and you can come back and visit us when you are 18. This podcast is meant solely for entertainment. We are not licensed doctors, lawyers, or therapists. We simply have a fascination with the lifestyle and a love to share it with you and get your thoughts and opinions.
Hey everyone, join me on my journey from living a 100% vanilla life to tiptoeing into a whole new world I never knew existed. Exploring a life that puts a whole new spin on sex and its meaning to me. From chastity devices and cuckolding to my experiences and the lifestyle. I have met some amazing people and had some crazy experiences and learned a lot about myself along the way. Welcome to Christine's FLR Podcast.
Welcome back. Episode 37. This week, I am chatting with Tamara from Straight from the Source's Mouth podcast. It's a great podcast about talking openly about sex. And that's what we're going to talk about today, sex and dating and all the things that go along with it. So sit back and enjoy.
So tell us a little bit about your podcast and what you talk about on there.
All right. Well, my podcast is Straight from the Source's Mouth. And then I added the colon, Frank Talk About Sex and Dating, which sometimes I wonder if I should just called it that, but I didn't. So, but yeah, it's Frank Talk About Sex and Dating. It's half experts and then half real people, which I said that to an expert and they're like, oh, I'm a real person too. So I don't know if that's the best title, but yeah. So
some people get offended.
Yeah. I have like love coaches and dating coaches and psychologists and psychiatrists. But then I also have just people I know from different parts of life. And then we have, you know, conversations about different topics. So, but the bottom line was normalizing sex. Women like it just as much as men, and eliminating the double standard are kind of the main goals of my podcast.
I like it. And for anyone who doesn't know, I was on her podcast. Gosh, I don't know how long ago it was.
Yeah, it's definitely.
It's been a while.
And it actually, just so you know, it's the highest listened to episode on my whole podcast. So it is the most listened to podcast, I guess is the way you would say it. So thank you very much.
She also, well, hey, I didn't know I had that many people listening. It's still so weird to me. Not weird, but just it's like a shocker to me. Yeah. She also had Dr. B, who has been on my podcast, was on her podcast. I just listened to that episode this morning. That was a really good episode. If anybody's interested in that, they talk about a female-led relationship from his side. So I know I talk all the time with my subby, but sometimes it's nice for people to get a different perspective, and he happens to be a doctor. So that was a great interview. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for recommending him as a guest.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So tell me a little bit about you. Are you single? Are you married? If you're dating, do you do anything in the lifestyle, things like that?
Yeah, so I was married once a long time ago. I've been divorced over 20 years. So I've been dating for the last 4 years, and I'm online. And I always wonder like how much to talk about, because if I'm, you know, dating more than one person and then people listen, I don't want to like say too much. So, but I'm on Bumble when I am on the apps, and I just got off a 6-month hiatus from the apps, but yeah, I'm back on, and I'm finally actually dating. Like I used to just meet a guy and they'd be my boyfriend. Like that's how I did it back in the day. So it's nice to actually go on lots of different dates and meet lots of people and learn what you do and don't like. So I think if more people are open-minded about that and like treat it as fun and practice and getting better when they finally meet the person, that you know more people would enjoy it. There's a lot of people that are hating the whole online dating stuff.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I met my husband online. We met through a dating app. I hated dating. I mean, I was divorced for 5 years and I don't even remember how I ended up on Zoosk, but like, are they still frustrating? And like, I don't know. There were just some really dumb men. Sorry, guys. It's not all of you.
Yeah.
But they were just, oh, it was kind of infuriating.
Yeah. And I'm in a Facebook group for child-free dating, like people that don't want kids or don't have them or whatever. And there's a lot of complaints there because there's not as many of them. The women complain a lot about the guys. And to me, they talk about sex too early is what the women think. And to me, it's a compatibility thing. Guys just want to know if you're compatible. And you can, it can be as simple as, yep, I like sex too. And then you move on to other subjects. But a lot of women get offended and think it's, you know, disrespectful or whatever they think about it. And to me, it's just a compatibility thing. And I have no problem talking about it. But yeah, there are a lot of frustrated people with online apps. And I think a lot of people do it for a couple of months and then take a break and try again. And, and you tend to see the same people on. Because I talk about attachment styles and, you know, it's the secure people are attached and the anxious and the avoidance are just going back and forth, ping-ponging on the apps and off the apps. So,
do you think that, I mean, this is kind of what you, I assume part of the reason that you started your podcast. Do you think women are just like in general, not comfortable with talking about sex or the things they enjoy or... I mean, and I try to figure out what is the biggest downfall to women in talking about sex. Like, why do we feel, and this is me included, why do we feel ashamed talking about us masturbating? Or, you know, like guys can be like, oh, I just jerked off in the shower. And women are like, oh my gosh, I would never say that I played with my dildo this morning. Yeah. You know, I do you find that a lot in like in your groups or just in your podcast?
To me, my theory is the double standard is what's hurting everyone because women are supposed to be and will get talked about and called names potentially if we do too much. So you have to act like a good girl, whether or not you are, you know, and there shouldn't even be good and bad. But, you know, there society has labeled the marrying kind and the not marrying kind. So everyone has to be cautious of how they come across. And it's, I think it's screwing up a lot of stuff. But yeah, I think that's the biggest one is they don't want to be seen as a good girl. So they have to act like they're offended. And maybe they really are offended because they've been taught, you know, sex is bad or whatever it is. I'm sure there's lots of reasons out there. But that's my going theory.
I'm curious to see. I mean, sometimes I think that is kind of going away. And then I get an email or I see a post or something that slaps me in the face and says, oh no, it is definitely still here. But I mean, I've talked about this on my podcast before. Like we talk very openly with our girls about sex and we have told both of our girls who are both now 18, we've had these conversations when they were ready, they kind of came to us, but you know, we talk very openly about sex and tell them, you know, it's okay. Figure out what you like. And I just wonder how many parents out there are doing that. I mean, people of my generation and older are so uncomfortable about talking about these things. And I never had these conversations with my parents. That would be unheard of.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see if that changes as, you know, as the younger generations are coming up. It seems like there's so much more, there's less of a stigma maybe around talking about sex, but I can't imagine being in the dating world at my age or just, you know, even some of the men that I come in contact with are like, you're sick. There's something wrong in your head. And
I was going to say, it's definitely generational. The younger generation, at least they feel like they should be able to do whatever they want. I don't know how comfortable they are doing it. I read a book called Love Rules and they were talking about how the younger generation just, they get like blackout drunk and because they know they're going to do it. So they're not necessarily comfortable, but everyone just does it. So they're going to have to too. And I mean, she was in England, so it might be different for Americans. I'm not sure, but I think it's definitely generational. I know my parents, like my mom told me, you know, the birds and the bees had the book and showed me the stuff, you know, the the mechanics of it, not necessarily mm-hmm. the emotions of it and that part of it, which
right.
more people should also, should more people, if it helps.
Yeah.
Help
women. Talk about it. Yeah. Women should feel totally comfortable talking about exploring themselves or things that, I mean, it's acceptable for a man. Why can't it be acceptable for a yeah. woman? And I think there's a really good book. It's called Come As You Are. I don't know that my girls would read it, but it's a fantastic book. Yeah. I kind of want, like, they just graduated high school. I probably wouldn't give it to them at their grad party, but I just think more women should read that book. It's really about just understanding what you enjoy sexually and really getting to know your body. Very empowering.
Yeah.
It's a good book.
I just interviewed someone from my podcast today who told me about that book, and she talked about orgasms, all about the vulva, mm-hmm. the whole, all the anatomy and all the stuff. And then there's Sex, Love, and Goop on Netflix, talks about it. The principles yep. of pleasure on Netflix. There's a lot of stuff
out
there.
I just watched that.
Yeah, there's a lot more stuff out there.
So good. Yeah. So are you into any type of kinks, or do you enjoy any lifestyle dynamics, or?
I've been fairly vanilla and I'm open to it. But one of my episodes is about introducing the lifestyle and her, like a newcomer, all the sites they go to find out about it. And that episode on Sex, Love, and Goop talked about the different, especially like bondage. I know that would be something I've done it and I would be willing to do it again. But mm-hmm. generally I defer to the man. We talked about, you know, maybe bringing this up with the confidence. So I let the man take charge. So whatever they want. And that's not always the best way to do it. So if they're into that, then I would do it.
Yeah. I have not always been confident. That's for sure. And is this like something that you don't post it on your dating profiles that you would be interested in BDSM, I assume, or do you explore any of the, like, FetLife is a big one for BDSM, or do you explore any of that at all?
I haven't created a profile. I know of it. My friend like mentioned going to an event at some point, and then another friend just mentioned mm-hmm. some other events. So I'm definitely open to it. And a guy I dated in the past wanted to go to one where you basically dress like in lingerie or whatever and just kind of walk around and see mm-hmm. what happens. So I was open to it at the time, and then we broke up before we could. I'm definitely open to all that, but I haven't put it on my profile. But I mean, because I generally tell them I have a podcast about sex and dating. So that pretty much opens mm-hmm. the floor to talk about sex right after that. So I definitely, they tell me what they're into pretty early on, and they know I'm not going to be offended by it.
Yeah.
They probably assume I'm into it all because I have a podcast about sex and dating. I was just talking about this in one of my episodes because I have this topic. They, you know, assume all kinds of stuff and, you know, some of it may be true.
Do you think that you've gotten more comfortable talking about sex and kink things since you've started your podcast, or have you always been pretty open about it?
I've always been comfortable talking about it. I used to be super shy, and the only thing I would ever talk about was sex. Like if there, you know, everyone's like, oh, you're actually talking now. I'm like, yeah, you're talking about sex. So I've always been open and comfortable and open-minded. And so, yeah. And the kink, you know, like I didn't even know about the female-led relationship, like that dynamic. I mean, so mm-hmm. that was, and a lot of people learn from my podcast, and I learned along the way too. Like there's a bunch of stuff I hadn't mm-hmm. known. So it's kind of cool to explore all that. And I even had an interview with the Accidental Swingers. So I've heard that, you know, all that stuff too. So, and every time I'm doing an interview, I'm like, oh my God, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. So. That can be overwhelming in itself. I mean, the only thing that my husband suggested to me that I was 100% on board head first, like, yes, let's do it, was chastity. Like he sent me the picture and I was like, fuck yes, I want to do that. But it can be like even you talking about, you know, dressing up in lingerie and going to like a FET event of some variety. I get overwhelmed thinking about that. Like, I don't know that I would be comfortable. I don't know if I'd be comfortable. It's so overwhelming because there's so much. I mean, the lifestyle, just saying the lifestyle, it's a big, broad world. There are so many things. There are so many things that I don't know. You're always learning. It's hard because, you know, you meet somebody new and you have an experience that you enjoy, but that first time it is like, do you find that it's awkward? Or I don't know. I think new sex is awkward anyway.
And that's it. I had an episode recently about when to talk about that kind of stuff. Like, when do you bring it up? And yeah, there is, I mean, obviously there's no right answers. You know, if you have a connection with someone and they seem to be into it. But I think a lot of people, what happens, both of them would have done it. They just don't talk about it. And then it's like years later, they're like, oh, dang, you would have done that all along. You know, mm-hmm. if people just talk about it sooner.
Yeah.
Some people are where they'll offend or whatever, but just, and you can't say the wrong thing to the right person. I've heard that one before and I just love that. So if you're into it, just say it. And if the other person is, you'll mm-hmm. win, you know, and if they're not, then you just move on, you know, that much sooner. So I don't see why people, at least, at least say you're open to it or not as vanilla or something, you know?
Yeah. I mean, have the communication, have the talk. I mean, it depends too. Like I get a lot of emails from people who are older, 50s and 60s, who are expressing interest in this lifestyle or say they've been living this lifestyle for years, which is the female-led relationship lifestyle, which is fascinating to me because they were in an entirely different environment growing up. And for them to have been practicing this or I'll get emails of, you know, how do I talk to my wife about this? We've been married for 30 years. You know, I think you have to kind of decide how important is this to you? Like, it's a hard decision. Like if you're really into bondage and this person that you have this amazing connection with isn't into that, how hard do you hold on to that? I mean, you don't want to be 20 years down the road and you have this regret or lose your wife of 30 years because she doesn't want to participate in a female-led relationship. I mean, it would be so hard to navigate that.
Yeah. You have to know for yourself, like what's more important. And then, you know, if the connection or it seems like that great and you just have to live without it, then, you know, that's not going to be pretty tough. And, or if they allow you to do it with someone else to get that, your need met, which I wish more people would have, like, just figure out what the relationship they want is and not worry about societal mm-hmm. norms and how it should be. You know, if, like you said, you could choose both of those options if someone doesn't mm-hmm. want to do it, but they let you do it with someone else. You know, like there's a way to figure it out where it's a win-win for everyone.
So yeah.
I just wish more people would communicate like that.
I agree. I can't tell you how many times I've been told I'm going to hell. I mean, Listen, whatever. And I totally understand because in the beginning, I was very nervous about saying anything about this lifestyle. Like I didn't know what my friends would think. What would I, you know? And now I'm just like, I don't care. I'm the same person I was. This is what I choose. This is how I choose to live my life. But this is between my partner and I, and it has nothing to do with you. Yeah. So if you don't want to be in my life because this is weird for you, See you later.
It's not like you do it in public. And
yeah, knows. I mean, it, no.
Well, secretly. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. Yes and no. You had mentioned that you are more of the submissive, or you tend to go to the man to take control in the bedroom. Are you like that outside of the bedroom as well? Like in a relationship, are you more of the, and I don't want to say submissive, but more of the man kind of takes charge and you just kind of do what he says? Or is that just an in the bedroom thing? Or
yeah, definitely more in the bedroom. Like in life, I take charge generally. You know, so, and I think that's what Dr. B and I talked about on the episode mm-hmm. was there's like a dynamic, you know, when you're the more out there in life you are, the more you want to be submissive in the bedroom. And I think that's a lot of strong women. They want a man to take charge in the bedroom because they're mm-hmm. sick of being in charge all the time.
Yeah. It gets tiring.
And then guys assume because you're so powerful or whatever, you know, they assume you're the same way in the bedroom. And like, no, we want the opposite in the bedroom. And but I do like the idea of gaining more confidence, like we talked about, from knowing what I want and asking for it.
I can relate to that. I don't mind if my husband smacks my ass or whatever, but I think the biggest thing that I've taken away from my female-led relationship is, or thus far, is that it's ultimately about me. And I think that that can translate, even if you aren't in a female-led relationship, I think in general, the man's goal, because it's like an accomplishment for them.
Yeah.
Oh, I made her come like 5 times, you know, or whatever the case may be. I think ultimately men in or out of a lifestyle dynamic, their ultimate goal is to please the woman.
Yeah.
And that's a big job because women are so different. Like no woman is the same and how they orgasm is so different. Yeah. So you're almost putting the man in this
unwinnable,
attainable.
Yeah.
Unwinnable situation where he doesn't really know. And we as women don't want to tell them what we want because we're embarrassed or, you know, whatever the case may be. I mean, I just think that more women should just be for it. I mean, I totally get it. I lived a life of a lot of years of missionary in 30 seconds and he was done and out the, you know, or whatever. We were rolling over, going to bed or whatever the case may be. It just opens up a whole new world when, I mean, even if you just pull a little bit of that confidence from your day to day where you're the girl boss and in charge and, you know, oh, I don't like that right there. I mean, you don't have to take full charge, but just if you don't like something, I don't understand why. Yeah. Why do women not say, you know, not specifically you, but just women in general, why don't they say, I don't like that. Don't do that. Like, are they worried about hurting the man's feelings?
Well, I mean, we are raised to be people pleasers and put other people first and give and all that. And I mean, and some say that's our nature.
I think it's interesting too, because I will get like, that is the biggest thing that I hear from people too, for female-led relationships, they're looking to get started and they're not comfortable being in control in the bedroom. They don't know what to do. And I think that all boils down to, again, that one, I don't know that couples really communicate with each other well about sex, even in long-term marriages. I just don't think they do, but, or not all. It's so hard to say anything and not generalize everybody because I know everybody is different. As far as like me being in control in the bedroom, that was one of the most, I think, natural things once I got comfortable in this dynamic. And it's so freeing. And I think being able to know what you like and what you want. And I think being open-minded is a huge thing too. And I don't think that exists as much as I thought it did. Maybe I don't know that the world is as open-minded as I thought it was.
I think that's why, because like you said, a lot of people are saying that they've been in the lifestyle a long time. It used to be very taboo and not too many people talked about it.
So what advice would you give to any single women out there that maybe are interested in kink and dating, or just any advice that you might have for single women out there?
I said it a little bit earlier. I really think treating it as fun and practice and just like I was telling someone, I swipe right on more, like if they're relatively attractive, I'll swipe right. I don't wait for like the perfect ones just to get the practice. And even if I've been pleasantly surprised and then like, okay, yeah, it's exactly what I thought, but I still enjoy the time. I actually have the conversations. I don't just be rude because it wasn't what I was expecting or hoping. And practicing conversing, practicing what you like and don't like, learning what you do and don't like. That's the only way you're going to do that is if you talk to more people. And like, yeah, online dating can be frustrating, but if you do it, you know, try one app just to get into it and not be so overwhelmed by it. And I like Bumble because the women have to start the conversation. And I didn't realize in the beginning, when you first match, it automatically pops up like, and then you're supposed to send a message. And I did this too. And I've heard other women were like, oh crap, I don't know what to say. So they just ignore it. And then you lose the match and then the guys get frustrated. So now, like as soon as it pops up, I just say, hello, how are you? And that's all I do. And then they can take it from there. They know I have swiped. So then they're good.
I've always been of the variety of like when I see someone visually, they can be so attractive. I'm like, oh my God, that guy is hot. And then they start talking and it just immediately drops right out the asshole. I'm like, I mean, it just totally kills their looks. Like, what qualities in a man is a win for you? Like sense of humor. If you can make me laugh, like that's a win instantly. Like, is there anything when you're looking or whatever that, you know, you're kind of like, oh yeah.
Once you start messaging, you either hit it off or you don't, you know, it's pretty clear. Some people you just message and it flows. And then you meet like within a couple of days and it's like, great. And then other people, it's just takes forever to message each other and it just dies off and people lose interest. I used to not do a phone call first, but that can help too, is, you know, if you're going to see if you're compatible or not.
Yeah. Sometimes hearing their voice. I was so nervous to hear my husband's voice the first time. I'm like, what if he has a terrible voice? He does not. I like it very much. Yeah. Have you ever thought about going to different events, but have you ever thought of going by yourself to a group of something that might interest you, or a bondage one, and just seeing, because I think as much as FetLife overwhelmed me, I think there are really good people on there. And I think it sounds funny, but starting backwards, I mean, you start with that sexual connection with someone and then maybe something develops from there. Have you ever thought about that? Or?
Yeah, actually, a friend just told me about two different events. She sent me the link to them. It's about exploring yourself, but with a group of people. And then the other one is like clothing optional, apparently. So it's like two levels of, so I'm open to it, but also bringing a friend, you know, just to have like someone.
Yeah. I think that is a common theme. And I think that's where FetLife has it kind of dialed in. Like these are people that have experience and, you know, these people going in are open. They know what they want. So if you don't mind me asking, do you have any interest in women, or have you explored that avenue at all?
I used to think I was bi-curious. Like I went to a gay bar with a guy friend, like a female bar, trying to find that, but I was so bad at doing it. Like, I don't even know how to start. I barely make eye contact with guys, and I know, you know, at least I know if, you know, generally if a guy's interested, but I would never catch if a woman was. And I have longer nails. I feel like that's the thing that like women nails, she can't be into that.
I had no idea that was a thing until we were at camp and there was a girl there. She is bisexual and she's like, your nails are too long. You're not lesbian. I'm like, what? Yeah. And then I started noticing that if there's women that are lesbians or bi-curious or whatever it is, they'll have like two shorter nails and the rest are long. And I was like, oh, it all makes sense. Yeah. Like I don't have any experience with that. And I am awkward as fuck in situations like that. Like, I don't know if I was interested in women, I would be more interested in women that were masculine. So I don't know. I mean, there are women that I find attractive and I think women in general are beautiful, but I've never explored that. I was just curious if you had ever explored that either.
I'm the same way. I think they're like attractive. I definitely notice like certain parts, you know, I'm like a guy where I notice like I'm a butt woman apparently. And and then like you said, I used to think I would want more of a lipstick lesbian, like more of the feminine, but I think the more masculine type because I want someone to take charge. But then I also read a book about like dominatrix and subs and all this stuff. And they were saying that the masculine ones, like Dr. B was saying, because they come across as masculine, they actually want to be submissive in the bedroom. So you never know.
Yeah. So there you are taking charge again when you don't want to.
For some reason, when I thought of doing it with women, then I feel like I could be more in charge. Like, I don't know.
That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I think that's something that's kind of just as we've grown up, like Dr. B said, I think both of our podcasts, you know, women are more the nurturers. It's almost like it's just ingrained in us that we're supposed to listen to men. And I think that's why like a female led relationship or a dominant woman is such a controversial subject for some, because they don't, I mean, a woman is seen as not in control, but behind the scenes, I mean, even in my opinion, you know, older generations where the man went out and worked, the woman was really still in control. I mean, she ran the house and, you know, everything was where it was supposed to be. Dinner was made, things like that. She was still in control. And I don't know, even in my first marriage, I think I was probably more in control, but.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, like the happy wife, happy life thing, you know, they let the woman have her way because it just makes life work easier.
That's like when people say, I have my husband's balls in my purse. Yes. Yes, I do. They are there and that's where they will stay. And he likes them there. So whatever.
Yeah. And I think more people would be into that. Like more guys. I had one guy, because I have a podcast about sex, you know, people tell me things. So I had a guy, like, he's like, you're the only one I could tell about this. I'm like, no, really, you could tell other people. You just are worried that, you know, I'm open-minded. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure other people, especially if someone like this woman, like was in love with him, but he didn't feel like he could tell her and that he was, you know, he liked the cuckolding and he liked the thinking of other men and all that stuff, but he wouldn't tell her. I'm like, well, if she loves you enough, I'm sure that would be like, it's not that strange, you know? So, and this actually can be flattering if your guy wants you to have other men appreciate you, you feel confident and they like it. So. Once again, it's win-win, and she may be into it, but he just didn't ask to know.
I think, I mean, that is the ideal reaction, but it seems that most women automatically go to why do you want me to sleep with other men? Don't you love me? You know, I mean, like going off when like my husband first initially said something about cuckolding to me. And I was like, what the fuck? He doesn't care who I sleep with. And we had not even, I mean, we were so early on in our dating. I was like, how can he just be okay with that? If more people had that perspective, like you just had right there, it was it's more of, you know, him wanting to please her and not so much that the negative side of it. It's so controversial.
Yeah, to me, it's the guys that like that. So if I want to do other things, I'm open to it. Like the one guy, he wanted me to date other people the entire time. Like he was like, I didn't believe him at first. I think we talked about this in our episode when you were on mine show. That, you know, I was at first like, wait, are you sure? And then I was like, okay.
Well, is there anything else that you want to chat about before we wrap this up?
The whole idea of dating being fun and, you know, people talking about sex. I had an episode with someone and he's like, it doesn't hurt to ask. They can say yes or no, you know, or they can agree or disagree. Just if you want something, you might be pleasantly surprised and you won't regret it if you waited years to say something to someone, or you'll know if you're not compatible and have your deal breakers early on. He called it truth and honesty. And like on a second date, he would have basically just answer stuff back and forth instead of truth and dare or truth or dare. And then you find the deal breakers and the non-negotiables pretty early on. So you know whether you should, you know, spend your time or waste your time or not waste your time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I think, I mean, communication about sex in general, I don't know, you just have to not be so scared. Just talk about it. It's okay. And it's such a judgy world we live in.
Yeah.
People are so judgmental. And I get hate comments mostly on TikTok, but I get hate comments and I try to let them roll off, but you still absorb them. Yeah. And it's those yucky comments that you get. I mean, I understand why people are a little bit leery of telling their partner, but this is supposed to be the person, you know, that you're spending your time with. And, or if it's your significant other, they should love you unconditionally. But
yeah. Well, and I heard one way to do it, like while dating is, well, even in, as a couple, but show like an article or show some kind of thing and say, hey, look what I just read or listen to this podcast episode. And then when you judge a reaction or ask them, if they're like put off by it, then you don't say it again. And if they're like, oh my God, this sounds amazing, then you just won. Just show
priorities. Yeah. Priory Society, when we had them on, they said the same thing. Like if you're into something or something about swinging, you know, throw in a movie of some variety that is along those lines and then just try to encourage discussion about it. I mean, I think that's a fantastic way. And I think, you know, the more podcasts like yours and like mine that are out there, people feel like they have people they can connect with and they don't feel so alone. Like, you know, we're doing our best to normalize these discussions. And I think, you know, the more people open up about it, the less, hopefully the less judgmental other people will be.
Yeah.
I genuinely appreciate you being on the episode. It was fun chatting with you again. And I wish you all the success in your dating adventure. Hopefully there's some kinky stories we can have you back on.
Yes. And thank you very much for having me. It was awesome to and reconnect. And it's always enjoyable chatting with you.
I like it. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Tamara. And if you want, you can check out her podcast, Straight from the Source's Mouth. I hope everyone has a fantastic week, is a good human being, be kind, take care of yourself, and we will chat soon. Love you all. Mwah. Thank you so much for listening today. I genuinely appreciate your time. If you happen to have any questions, all of my contact information is in the show notes of this and every episode. Don't hesitate to reach out. Also, in the show notes, there is a link to my Patreon, where your support is incredibly appreciated. Patrons have access to advanced and extra content from this and other podcasts that we produce, FLR consulting via messages and video, and input on the production of each podcast. There is also a link to my OnlyFans page. My fans on that platform have access to almost daily posts of photos and videos of me and me torturing my subby, full and sample erotic audios, and other posts.
OnlyFans is now the safe place where you can order custom erotic audios, videos, and photos. Mention that you heard it on this podcast for a 10% discount. Most importantly, though, if you have the option to rate and review my podcast on the platform you listen to it on, please do. Good ratings and reviews help boost my podcast in the charts so that more and more people are able to hear what I have to say about the lifestyle. Until next week, be good to yourself and each other.